Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's a board chairman.
Hello.
Could you just start over again? I just...
You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, ma'am, sorry, we have to start over again. So would you state your full name and ADC number for the record, please?
Latonya Powell, 209-378.
Thank you. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency in reference to your community supervision revocation this morning.
Okay.
I'm going to introduce the board members who will conduct your hearing at this time.
Okay.
We have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman, Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead.
Hello.
Also in the room with us today from the Department of Corrections, we have Mr. Turner, and he'll also represent the parole office today.
Okay.
So prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you were notified of the right to appear and speak on your behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself, I guess. Okay. I don't have an attorney.
I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in at this time. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Or do you say the firm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated.
Okay.
And if they've been violated, in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated.
Okay.
So for phase one, what we'll do is I'm going to read the two allegations that are on your warrant. After each one, I'm going to ask you if they're true or false.
Okay.
All right. Allegation number one is in violation of Arizona Division of Supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to attend, participate, and complete the 90-day residential program at V-Ray, 7114 North 66 Drive in Glendale, Arizona, as directed in writing on July 6, 2018. Is that true or false?
That's true, but can I speak on that?
In phase two, you will have an opportunity to tell us everything you'd like to, okay?
Okay.
All right, so allegation number two is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12B, as demonstrated by your failure to report to MRPO within one day of your discharge from the RCBM at V-Ray on or about July 16, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were absconded from supervision. That true or false, ma'am?
That's actually false because when I left there, I called my parole officer.
Hang on. Okay, if you say it's false, Mr. Turner is going to give some information about it. So, Mr. Turner.
Allegation number two. On 7-6-2018, the offender was staffed for her ongoing substance abuse of cocaine and PCP, and as an intervention, she was referred to the Residential Community Behavioral Modification Program, RCBM, at V-Ray 7113 North 66th Drive in Glendale, Arizona, 85301. On 7-6-2018, the offender signed conditions of supervision which stated in part that the offender was to report in person to her assigned parole officer or the duty officer by noon within one workday of her discharge from V-Ray. On 7-16-2018, the offender left V-Ray without permission and hasn't returned. The offender failed to report to MRPO within one workday of her discharge from the RCBM at V-Ray. The offender has not made contact with her assigned parole officer since departing V-Ray. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus she is absconded from supervision. Follow-up. On 7-24-2018, Peter Vaughn attempted to contact the emergency contact of Rhonda Robinson's sister by phone, and she stated the offender doesn't reside with her anymore but believes she is residing somewhere in South Phoenix. On 7-24-2018, Peter Vaughn contacted the offender's father, Daniel Powell, and he stated he was assaulted by the offender on 7-21-2018. He stated he returned to the residence to find a locksmith and the offender attempting to break into his bedroom where he has a safe. He stated the offender became upset and dislocated his arm. Daniel stated he had to go to the hospital to have his shoulder placed back in. Daniel stated he is obtaining an order of protection against the offender. He also stated the offender is smoking crack and selling drugs. Daniel stated the offender is out of control and he is done with her. On 7/24/2018, P.O. Bond called at Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and Maricopa Medical Center in an attempt to locate the offender. She was not at either location. P.O. Bond knows no other person or place to contact in an attempt to locate the offender.
Thank you, sir. So, Ms. Powell, what is false about that?
Okay, so before I even left Vibre Housing, I called my PO 3 days in a row, left him messages, and he never got back with me. I was calling him to let him know that if I'm getting treatment, then treatment to me is counseling, meetings, groups, anything. Well, we weren't doing any of that there. I was just in a room by myself, just there. I never went to not one meeting. And so I was trying to call my parole officer and tell him that this wasn't the right facility for me, but he never returned my calls.
Okay, now, we're going to move forward into the next phase here in a moment, so we're going to have ample opportunity to talk about that, okay?
Okay.
All right, so for allegation number one is based on the admission of Ms. Powell, and allegation number two is the information contained in warrant number 20182136. Based on all that information, I am going to move to find that Ms. Powell was delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision, and that she may have lapses or about to lapse in current ways of the company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright. Okay, ma'am, we're going to move forward into phase two in a couple of minutes, but before we do, Mr. Kern's going to give some background information, so stay on the phone and we'll get right back with you.
All right.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, Ms. Powell was released from ADC custody on 3/9/2018 and arrested on 7/30/2018 by Arizona State University Police Department. No new charges are noted. She returned back to ADC custody on 7/30/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 11/14/2018 with 14 abscond days. Current conviction, 2015, trafficking in stolen property, 3 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2005, commitment A, count 2, drug paraphernalia violation, 9 months. 2005, commitment B, count 1, theft, 1 year. 2009, commitment C, count 1, theft means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2009, commitment C, count 3, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. This is her third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. No STG information is noted. Prior term of supervision, 2007, TIS release completed, 5 months. 2013, TIS release completed, 6 months. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy, with smuggling contraband, possession of contraband, promoting contraband, fighting, disorderly conduct, and sexual contact noted. May 21, 2018, she received a disciplinary and found guilty of a minor for out of place or disrupting count. Other arrest, 1993, burglary second degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 1996, burglary second degree, Texas unknown. 1997, aggravated robbery, Texas unknown. 1998, miscellaneous felony or misdemeanor, Texas unknown. 1999, marijuana violation, Arizona felony conviction probation. She has a GV score of G3, B4.
Thanks, sir. Okay, Ms. Powell, we're going to go over a summary of your case supervision at this time. So you were approved to reside with your mother in Phoenix.
No, that was my sister. Wanda Robinson is my sister.
Okay. But then, okay, so that was in Phoenix. But then, okay, I'm reading this. It says you were approved to stay with your mother and your father.
Okay, my sister lives in Gilbert and my dad lives in Phoenix. So I don't know which address you're talking about. But when I first got out of prison, I was going to my dad's house. And then shortly after I got there, I got approved to stay with my sister.
Okay. Yeah, the way this was written was a little confusing. So then after your situation, it looked like July 6th of 2018, you were approved and resided Greenway, 7113-66 Drive in Glendale. Not your last known address until you left. Okay, and so you say you decided that what was going on at Greenway wasn't what you needed, so you wanted to make a move. Right,
because before even Greenway, me and my parole officer and his supervisor discussed the 30-day program. He told me he would get back with me within that week, but he took 2 weeks to call me and said, well, he has a 90-day program. He couldn't find a 30-day program for me. So I went there because I was expecting to be getting treatment, like as far as group and counseling and all that stuff that goes with treatment, and I wasn't getting that there. They just had me in an apartment bedroom by myself doing nothing all day. I mean, not one time since I've been there, in the 9 days that I was there, did I go to a meeting, a group, or have a counselor or anything.
Did anybody at the Leroy explain why that was?
Well, I guess apparently it went under new management. So when it went under new management, all the stuff that they did have going for them, they wasn't doing that anymore. So my PO led me to believe that I was going to go there to get help. Like,
What did the people in Midway say about what was going on? There's new management. Okay. If they're getting paid to give you programming, did they tell you what the program was going to be, how long it was going to be before it started, anything else like that?
Well, I went, like, maybe I'll get back about a week, and then I finally went to DDC for the orientation. And they were telling me that I was going to do groups and this and that, but when I got to Reverie, there was nothing. They told me they would come and pick us up, pick up the group, had a meeting, none of that happened. And I've been dealing with drugs, you know what I'm saying, for a lot of years now, and I've never once had any help. So when they offered me this help, I was willing to do this.
Okay, you keep saying they weren't doing what you thought they should be doing.
No.
Excuse me, you thought you were going to get treatment and stuff, and then you weren't getting what you thought you should be getting.
No, but this is what they told me.
Did you ever ask the people at Vibray about exactly what was going to be going on? You talk about, first you said you got nothing, and then you said you went to an orientation, and they said, certain things were going to happen, but they weren't happening. Did you ask anybody at V-Ray about if they were going to happen, what was going to happen, who was going to do what for you? Or did you just decide what they were doing?
No. When BBC, when I went to the orientation, they told me everything that was going to be happening at V-Ray, I went back to V-Ray, and none of what they were telling me was happening. So when I asked about it, they told me it's because you're under new management, and left it at that. They didn't elaborate on anything else.
Okay.
I didn't decide to go because I didn't want to be there.
Okay. It says you were assigned a task, and you submitted samples as followed, which is one negative in March, May and June, two positive results for cocaine. April, there was one that you failed to provide a sample.
So I provided, every time he took me to UA, I did go UA.
Okay, well, it said that on the one occasion you failed to provide it. Now, if you took one the next day, not listed here, okay, but you did miss a UA.
Okay.
And then it says that you were referred to substance abuse treatment through the CHC. And you were supposed to complete 30 sessions?
Yes, before I went to Rebrae, he had me go on to meetings.
Okay, but you're going to the meetings that are supposed to help you with your substance abuse.
Yeah, that wasn't part of Rebrae, though. Yes, sir.
Okay. And it says here that you were attending the substance abuse classes, but your cocaine use was increasing. And then, it looks like you were discontinued from that in favor on, this would be June 26th, in favor of an inpatient program.
Right.
So, at that time, at the end of June, you were had a serious problem with your heroin. Okay. It looks like that part of what was going on is it said that you were open to the 90-day program, but you wouldn't have 30-day inpatient, you were open to a 90-day program. An appeal line attempted to contact several programs for substance abuse, but was they were all at capacity or required too long of a wait for entrance. And so on July 6th, you referred to RCBM and Vivray. And you signed new conditions directing you to attend, participate, and complete the 90-day RCBM at Vivray. So you signed the term of conditions, said, and agreed to do the 90 days, but now you're telling Sue you didn't think they were doing what they were supposed to, and so you just decided to leave.
I did this before I decided to just leave. I called them three separate occasions to tell them about what was not going on there.
Okay, but it says here that you signed term conditions agreeing to the 90 days.
Yes.
And according to this, he made attempts to find you an inpatient program, but they were all full. A lot of people don't understand that. There's limited, you got 10 beds. You can't take number 11 into the program.
Right.
And so a lot of people think that they get a lot of inpatients that can go right in there. You may need it, but you can't get in unless there's a bed.
Well, I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Okay, now when we're in the end of your hearing, the board will be going to this into discussion in a few minutes making a determination. But before we do that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement.
Okay.
Give us any other information you think might be important to our decision, but we ask that you don't cover all the information you've already discussed, okay?
Okay.
All right. Anything else you'd like to tell us?
Yes, I just feel like everybody deserves a second chance, and I don't believe prison is right for me. I need to be in some type of treatment center for my drug abuse. And I'm willing to do that if I'm allowed to.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. The board will be going into discussion in a couple minutes. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to make a determination. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be.
Okay.
We ask you to stay on the phone, just remain silent. You can hear the whole conversation. And once we've made a determination, I'll get back with you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Board is now in discussion. Now, this is a unfortunate situation. Ms. Powell knows she has a drug problem. History indicates that she's done some crimes more than likely supporting the drug problem. But although she's done TIS a couple of times before, she's had more than one second chance during her life. So I don't look at it from that respect, but I understand her frustration if she's not getting what she thinks she should be getting as far as treatment and stuff goes, but to because you can't get over your PO and things aren't going the right way, you leave. And it was a couple of weeks before she was picked up, so at this point in time, there's not all that much time left for her. I'm going to, I don't think that she's a good candidate for return to community supervision, but I'm going to listen to discussion from any of my fellow board members. Okay, no discussion. So based on all the information in 2018W2136, Ms. Powell's testimony and information from the Department of Corrections, I'm going to revoke community supervision of Ms. Powell. She was delinquent, but violated term condition of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal ways for company.
Second.
You can read.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Josh, agreed by Dr. Wright. And the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time.
We hope that in between now and time of your release, you could get some, at least get in some of the 12-step programs, sit in some classes, AA, you know, that sort of stuff. But on or about November 14th of this year, you're due to be released. You'll be on your own. You won't have to wear an orange uniform anymore.
Okay.
And there are places out there that you can get some inpatient treatment, evaluations, and you sound like you know that you have a problem.
Right.
And you admitted it, and that is the first step in the right direction.
Okay.
The admitting it. So we do wish you the best of luck. We hope that that you go out there and be a productive citizen and that you'll never have to be incarcerated again.
Okay, so my one question is, when I do get out, do I have to go and see anybody or am I done?
No, you'll be done with, unless you have something that we don't have, you know, as far as other charges or something. No, you'll be released, that'll be the end of your sentence, and you won't have to report to a PO or their halfway houses. You can seek your own treatment wherever you would like.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, thank you.
All right, listen to your hearing, and would you put the CO3 back on?
Okay.